guess who decided to record another episode? Because he woke up at 1 a.m. and couldn't sleep. Me. I guess one of the things I told myself I would do whenever I wake up in the middle of the night is, instead of trying to force myself to go back to sleep, which never works, I end up staying awake for 3 hours, do something. And then sleep will naturally just come back when it's ready. So, yeah. Well, anyways, here we are, talking again. Mainly me talking, you listening, hopefully. Or maybe you're talking too, I don't know. To each their own. But, yeah, I do want to welcome you. I'm still in Bahrain. It is August 29. And, yeah, I got less than... I got about 3 weeks left, a little bit less, and then going back to Cali. There's a lot to get back to. So, yeah. So, can't wait. Right before my sleep pattern is all messed up. It's just horrible. Like, it's like I get off at 5 p.m., that is obviously at... Why would it be 5 a.m.? That would be weird. And then sometimes I get sleepy. And I don't know. It's a weird time to get sleepy and take a nap, because it will definitely throw off everything, you know, my whole sleep pattern. So I try to stay awake. But then around 7 p.m., I'm done. Like, I have to crash. I have to fall asleep. And then I'm always hoping that I can just sleep through the whole night. So 7 to 5 30, right? And never happens. It's like I always wake up in the middle of the night. Today I woke up at 1 a.m. Now it's 2:40. And I don't know why the time goes so much faster when you wake up in the middle of the night. It feels like I just woke up like a minute ago, but it's already been an hour and 40 minutes. So anyways, I did some preparing for my next class. But yeah, it's so annoying because I want to like... I don't know why the sleep has been so weird here. I have this theory that when your heart... Nah, I don't want to say that. When you're not meant what you're supposed to do, you will be tired more often. I feel like there's physical consequences to things that your heart doesn't want to do or doesn't feel comfortable doing. So like for me, this is a 9 to 5 going into the office type deal. It's teaching. It's not like working, you know, in front of a computer coding. But still, I have to go into an office 9 to 5, Sunday through Thursday, because we're in a Muslim country and we're in a Muslim schedule. So in some Islamic countries, you get off Friday and Saturday instead of Saturday, Sunday. So anyways, that's everything besides the point. None of this stuff is, you know, important. What's important is that, like, I shouldn't be tired at 5 p.m. like the way I am. Like, I shouldn't feel this exhausted. It's ridiculous. And I don't know if there might be other reasons at play. Maybe, possibly, potentially. Yeah, I don't know. It's just... But I've been here before where I remember interning at Sandia National Laboratory in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't know why I said it the way I did, like full qualified path to the job. But that was another job where like, wow, I was sleepy AF. I'm bringing AF back. Well, it's never gone for other people, but I was using it there for a short period of time. But I couldn't like stay awake for the life of me. It was especially the second job there. Like a different. So I worked at two different apartments. First one was geothermal, and the second one I can't tell you. Sorry. But it was inside a building where I didn't see any windows, and it was just older. It's an older place, not a modern office setting. And I just remember my coworkers. They were characters. What's that called? Who? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. So we had either you're an engineer or you are a technician. So an engineer is somebody who has a master's degree or higher. And a technician is pretty much everybody below. So even with a bachelor's degree, you wouldn't be considered an engineer. So you got to have a master's. So first department, I was working with a bunch of scientists. Really interesting characters, honestly. And then the second one was a technician guy. Also interesting character. But anyways, I was sitting in this cubicle, in this windowless office, and just coding pure Java. And ironically, I was sleeping. I was tired the whole time. And I hope you caught the irony there. So that was tough. My point is, like, I've been in jobs where, like, it was impossible for me to stay awake. My body couldn't stay awake for the life of me. It's like, it's just certain jobs, if your heart is not into it. And I love, and don't get me wrong, compared to like a lot of other jobs, teaching is actually something that I think it's cool. I want to do a good job. I know that too. But it's just, I'm so sensitive. I've gotten so sensitive, I've always been sensitive. I'm coming back to being sensitive, which is a good thing, being myself. That like being, it's tough for me to be in a foreign country. It's tough to be, for me, away. I'm away from the only things that provided me with love. So I'm being out here. And if you look at it the wrong way, some people might say, you could look at it like, it's really up to you how you look at life and things that happen to you. But my point is that this is difficult being here. And it's like, I know some people just are like, I don't know, they're like robots when it comes to these things. These expats that come to other countries rake their money that as much as they can and then go home retired or whatever. I'm not that type, sorry. And why am I forcing to be that type? What has changed? I'm 40 and like somehow I keep doing things because I should. Like it's out of guilt and obligation. And then I've never really gone for things that I want to go for. Things that excite me, that are thrilling, that are scary. I never do that. Like I'm too scared to do them. And then I do end up doing just the things that I should. And how many people go through life doing only things that they should? Like how many? I would say it's a vast, vast, vast majority. I don't know what the percentage is. My guess would be 99 and above, but very few people truly go for what they want. That's just we're surrounded by fears and shoulds. Shoulds is just an extension of fear. You should do this because out of fear. Should is just there. Want is something that comes closer to love. But not, don't confuse want. Maybe there's two versions of want. Don't confuse want with like coming from a bad source. I think want can come from a good source or from a bad source, where you think you want something, but it's actually something that's coming from your ego, coming from somewhere else. But the want that comes from your heart, from your childlike self, the child that always wanted to be whatever, X, Y, and Z, always wanted to be a singer, always wanted to be a writer, always wanted to be whatever it is, that's a good want. That's the tough one to go for, though. That's the ultimate want. And then there's the want that, like, well, I want a bigger house. I want a, you know, a faster, more fancier car. I want a prettier girlfriend, you know. So these are all maybe the ones that are not, those are not the good ones, the good ones. So anyhow, I do want to give you something on this podcast that is helpful to you, and remind myself you know, something that I can give to you and also remind myself with it at the same time. And I hope I, you know, have a few of those during this episode. We're currently going over the 50 rules of Stoicism, and I peeked ahead at the next one, and, you know, I like it. So this next Stoic rule, I think, is, these are all pretty good, actually, all of these. There's some that are like, okay, not as good as some of the other ones, but they're all good. So this one is rule number 37. Prepare for life's inevitable setbacks. And then I think it has the Latin equivalent to it. Premeditatio malorum. I wonder if I can ask Google how to pronounce it. That sounds like a cool... Actually, first of all, let's look up the meaning. The meaning is... the premeditation of evils is a Stoic exercise of imagining things that could go wrong or be taken away from us. It helps us prepare for life's inevitable setbacks and develop resilience in the face of uncertainty. We don't always get what is rightfully ours, even if we've earned it. Wow. Wow, let's talk about that. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Should you meditate on things that could go wrong? How isn't it sort of against our modern Western thinking, though? Like in a society where, like, think positive, don't think negative, focus on the good. Doesn't that sort of go against it? What do you guys think?
We talk a lot in our culture about positive visualization. You're supposed to imagine everything going right, seeing yourself on the medal stand or writing a check for $1 million. But the Stoics would say you should actually practice negative visualization. The Latin expression for this is premeditatio malorum, a premeditation of evils. Seneca would say that nothing happens to the wise man contrary to his expectations, meaning that a wise, prepared person knows in advance all the different possibilities. And so one of the reasons we made the premeditatio malorum coin was just a reminder of that. It's got a shipwreck on the front, it says premeditatio malorum, and then it says all the terms of our human lot should be before our eyes. This isn't negative in the sense that you're seeing what could go wrong because you hope that it will go wrong. You're not tempting fate. What you're doing is putting yourself in a position, if those things are to happen, that they don't catch you by surprise and you're able to deal with them.
Did you guys like that? That was Ryan Holiday himself. There's definitely some things I want to say about this. The biggest one being, I've done this all my life. No joke. Why would I be joking about this? This is something that I was always doing. I always prepared for, like, because I knew how much it would crush me, one negative thing, certain negative things, like how it would just devastate me to my core, and I might not make it. So I always be prepared. I always prepared myself for the worst. And I still do to this day. I'm not trying to say that this is something that I'm good at, this particular rule, it's something that I have mastered, but it's something that I think a lot of us might be confused about, especially modern society is definitely not practicing this. This is definitely not something that's being set out there. It's not something that's being preached, not something that's being promoted, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. So, because like Ryan said it perfectly. So what he said is what I'm saying as well, which is that, you know, the society keeps telling us to focus on the positive, don't focus on the negative, but this is not negative. This is just preparing yourself for things that could happen, and that you still focus on the good, you still focus on all the beautiful things, obviously, and all the good things in your life, and be grateful for them. But at the same time, you have this sort of like reserved thinking, like a part of you is like, okay, but if something were to happen, you know, it will not shake me, it will not devastate me, I am staying on my course, I'm staying on course, I'm staying, you know, the path. But here's the thing, though, there are some other things about this that are sort of, I feel like, interesting. One is that you can't really predict every evil that might come your way, every predicament that you might be in, every calamity that hits you. It's just, you can't do that. So a lot of times life will sort of throw you off. It will like catch you off guard. And that's the point. Life is doing that on purpose because it doesn't want to give you something that you already premeditating on, that you're already preparing for. This is also very important that I wish Ryan had said that like the thing that, for example, that I'm dealing with now, the struggle that I have right now, the mental struggle that I'm going through right now, I never predicted that. I've gone through so many things that could go wrong in life, you know, like prepared for it. I always focus positive. I always thought that life will be great and awesome. I did. I'm the most, I would say, one of the most positive people you ever want to meet, especially when I was younger. But at the same time, I always had this like this thing in the back of my mind, getting ready for all the worst case scenario. But I didn't think this mental struggle that I'm going through right now is something that would ever happen to me. That was not part of it. Not at any point did I ever consider that being a possibility. And here I am. That's my obstacle. And it's the obstacle that's on the way, not in the way. It's part of my path. So it's supposed to happen. It's there for a reason. It's supposed to catch me off guard. And it's part of what makes me. I think the person that I am because of my struggles is something that I could not have been if it wasn't for the struggle. Like sometimes the person we're trying to become, the person that's in us, we cannot become it unless a certain thing happens. And this, in my case, it's this thing, you know. And you might be wondering, what is this thing? What is this mental struggle you're talking about? And I've talked, well, you would have to listen to some of the previous episodes. but I'm going through just like this weird, foggy mental struggle where like, I don't know what's what. You know, there's times when I feel like, you know, am I going insane? Sometimes I feel like I don't feel grounded. I feel like I'm floating and not grounded to the floor. Have you ever had those dreams where like you're floating or flying, but you're desperately trying to get on the ground? Like you're trying to walk, you're trying to like, you know, get some traction, get some control, but you can't. That's how it feels like for me in real life. Like that's the weird part. It's not a dream. It's like sort of became true. Like I want to get grounded, but I can't. And but anyhow, I do know one thing without a doubt that I shouldn't say without a doubt because I know intellectually that everything has a purpose. So in my case, this has a purpose. Even if it feels like a lot of us, when something happens to us or we're going through something, we have some sort of struggle, we have some sort of issue that we're dealing with, it's very hard for us to make the connection to a purpose. Very hard, impossible. It's impossible. You will not even make that connection. You won't be able to do it. Sometimes people from the outside might be able to see it a little bit more, but you from the inside your head, like you can't make that connection. You're like, you know, this is the worst thing ever. Why, you know, like, this makes me a bad person. I will never recover from this, blah, blah, blah. And you don't see, like, the incredible benefit it has. Like, this, it's like medicine that tastes bitter. It's like, you're like, this tastes shitty. Like, this is horrible. Why would anybody drink that? Why would anybody eat that? Why would anybody, you know, it's like, it's just not good tasting. It's not a good tasting food, you know, talking about medicine that's good for you. But it's like this medicine that's like sort of like getting you exactly to where you need to go. It heals you. It makes you do things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And sometimes it makes you more humble. Sometimes it makes you a better person. Sometimes it opens you up. People who get into bad accidents, sometimes they wake up from them. You know, it's a wake-up call. You know, they were dead, and they were no, and there was no way they would have woken up. You know, not physically, obviously. They, like we're talking about spiritually, mentally, you know. The only way they would become awake again is sadly through some event, you know, some incident, you know. So yeah, and actually the movie Crashing was sort of interesting. It's sort of related to this, but in a different way. Crashing was all about things happening, but happening as collectively. We wake up as a group. We want to connect so badly that we crash into each other. But that's sort of different. So yeah, so I think this is an interesting rule. I think that maybe, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. Think about all the things that could go wrong. I think that with that said, I would say it's important to, without letting it affect your optimism, your energy, have some sort of preparation. It's sort of like, okay, this is sort of like, it's good to spend money on things you love. That's a good thing, but at the same time, it's also a good thing to save money to prepare for a rainy day. It's like, yes, let's say you are on a rise career-wise, or, you know, whatever, you're a stand-up comedian and bam, you know, you blew up, or you got, you know, you're making some money now, you got a movie deal, you're in a movie, right? And so it's a good idea, yes. And it might seem like, oh, I don't have to worry about money anymore. Like, look, I just got a $2 million check, you know, for the movie I made. And you feel like, you know, like it feels like, oh, you're safe, you're good, you finally made money, you're making it, you know. Obviously, I'm pointing out the most obvious, simple thing, but that's sort of what life is. But you still have to sort of, you know, put some money aside and be prepared, like, what if this ends, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean you become negative. That doesn't mean you don't go out there and go for your next, you know, movie deal or whatever, Netflix special, whatever it is. You still go for those things, but at the same time, you prepare for, you know, a possibility that there's, you know, dry period, whatever. So like, and I guess this rule is sort of like that as well. It's saying, you know, be prepared mentally for things that could happen to you or your loved ones or whatever else you can imagine, but without, I don't know if meditation is the right word, but you don't focus on it, but you prepare for it. That's what I would say. And so I think it's a good rule. You know, I think it needs some context, but I think it's a good rule. All of these have good rules, you know. Like, who am I to judge? Well, first of all, who am I to judge if something is good or bad? Can anybody really judge what's good or bad? Like, honestly? Like, can any of us really have the ability to do that? Like, who knows anything? Even Ryan Holiday, even Oprah. Like, this is another thing that fascinates me, what I'm learning about life, which is that I've seen perfect people do imperfect things. So I couldn't see that before. Like, I only saw perfect people, and then I start seeing, like, oh, they make mistakes like us. And this really changed my mind, that without changing, but you don't change what you admire about them. You don't change the main, like you don't make it, like, you don't become pessimistic, narcissistic, and judgmental, like, oh, everybody is just fucked up, and everybody's, you know, like, no, you don't become that person. You become the person that, like, oh, we're all imperfect. We all have things, we all believe things that might not be true in some way, you know, and there might be somebody that you highly admire and respect. There was this Buddhist nun, a monk, whatever, if she was female, I don't know why I said nun. So she was talking to Oprah on her podcast, and she was saying all these beautiful, amazing things. She was one of those, you know, guests that I just have really high, a lot of respect for, and admired just based on her talk. And then something came up on the podcast where some lady, I guess, at some point accused her of not believing her when she said she was abused or raped, I think, maybe even something like that. And that really threw me off, because not because this Buddhist monk didn't believe this woman when this woman came to her and hoped that she would, or assumed that she would believe her when she said, you know, that these bad things happened to her. But it's like the way she didn't even apologize for that, as they didn't, like, the apology and the discussion between Oprah and her about this lady, like, it just didn't feel good. Like, it didn't feel like she what's the word I'm looking for? She atoned for it. It didn't seem like she was genuine about it. She wasn't remorseful, I guess. Like, and that really threw me off. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, this is a lady that, you know, that talks about a lot of a lot of important, you know, important, beautiful, spiritual things, and like, and here she is, like, not doing this, I feel like, this almost horrible thing, to not believe somebody when they said, like, hey, I need help, you know, I've been abused, I've been whatever. And so that really, like, I was like, huh. I'm like, okay, can I still listen to her book? Because, you know, she has a book, and can I still listen to her talking to Oprah on her podcast? Because I lost a lot of respect in some ways. I'm like, huh, like, you know, like, I'm okay with you making a mistake, without a doubt. I made more mistakes than anybody, and I am not a good person. And I hope and expect, I hope that people forgive me, and I, you know, like, for the things I've done. I make daily mistakes all the time. I hurt people's feelings. I'm reckless. I'm egotistical. I'm a douche sometimes. I'm, you know, there's all these things that I am, like, imperfect things. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. You know, none of us are perfect, but I do hope that people will forgive me. Like, it's important. And I do want to be better. I do. My intention is to be better. So forgiveness is key, really. Like, it's forgive. But this one was just like, but remember what I said about doing the forgiveness episode? I said, like, there has to be a genuine remorse, you know, and it's just, and you shouldn't be the judge of if somebody's genuine or not. So if she says she's remorseful, I take her word. It's just, but my heart was just a little bit like, huh. It was a little bit hurt, you know, my heart was a little bit, you know, shaken, I guess. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, I realized, like, huh, even good people can be imperfect. Like, that's the thing. Like, so that really sort of changed my mind a little bit about, you know, being imperfect, I guess. Where was I going? Wait, I don't even know what started this part of the podcast. How did I get here? Well, anyhow, it's 3 a.m. now, and I'm still not getting sleepy enough to go to sleep. But I hope I provided you with something that was useful. I really hope. I want to give you more on this podcast. I really do. More. Like, that's the goal. More in terms of benefiting you. More in terms of giving value to you. So I was listening, sometimes, like I said, I listen to my episodes, I listen to it, you know, replay it just to see if there's something there. And I've noticed that a lot, sometimes I have a hard time finding one clip of the podcast that I can share, that I feel comfortable sharing. I'm like, huh. So I need more instances of the podcast that I feel like very good enough about, that I feel like I can share on social media, Instagram. That's my poison, media poison. I'm kidding. I shouldn't call it poison. That's not that's not true. We should be careful with what we call things. Social media can be a beautiful thing, honestly. I do believe that. It sounds weird to say it, though. It sounds like saying cigarettes are a beautiful thing, almost. Feels like that. But there's benefits to it, for sure. So, what can I give you? Like, if I had to, like, clip out everything from this point on, not this point, as soon as I say this point, the next time I say it, to the next part, like I want to be able to give you something that is shareable. And as soon as I do that, I can never come up with something because I was never good at that. I don't know. I'm just going to move forward, go with what feels right to talk about in a natural, organic way, not forcing anything, not forcing a conversation, not forcing certain words. And I guess life is just fascinating to me. Like, I'm here in Bahrain, who would have thought, you know, and it's like I'm going through this roller coaster of mental states, and it's like, but I gotta hang on to some simple truth. We all gotta hang on to some simple ultimate truth. We gotta have that. We gotta have a framework. Otherwise, we're in trouble. That's what religion was for most people most of the time. But I think now religion can be replaced with your basic principles. Your own basic principles of life. Like, what are the things that you believe in personally that you want to hang on, that you know to be your the things that you have come to realize in your best moments? Like, things like, I want to be able to give out as much love as possible. I want to be able to see the good in people no matter what. I would like to always do my best. I would like to be honest. I cannot be dishonest. I want to be genuine. I don't want to be hypocrite. I want to be kind to people, to myself. I want to be forgiving. Like, there's certain things that we realize at our best and best times, and, you know, our aha moments. Those are the things that we should form a framework around for life, and then sort of practice them, because then we'll forget. We'll realize something like, oh, I didn't realize I was not making time for my loved ones. It is so easy to go through life forgetting about things that matter. That is, like, it will always blow me away how easy it is for people to forget to FaceTime their loved ones, their siblings, their mothers. It's because we're so in the middle. We're in the middle of our career rise, and or, you know, whatever it is, maybe downfall. But like, you're occupied with certain part of your life. Your school is occupying your mind. Your career is occupying your mind, and we forget the most important thing. And God forbid, something happens, you know, because you weren't mentally prepared for it. And bam, you realize, like, I've been wrong. I've been, like, neglecting the things that actually matter. So what I'm trying to say, that doesn't mean you don't focus on your career. It doesn't mean you focus on your creative work. It doesn't mean you stay focused on that, you know, as much as you can. But take the time to step away from it. Take the time to make a FaceTime call to a loved one. Take the time to take care of yourself. Take the time to watch a movie, for God's sake. Why are so many people resistant to watching movies these days? Like, movies are incredibly important in life. I do believe it 100%. They're supposed to inspire us. They're supposed to remind us of the beautiful things of life. Not shitty, crappy movies. I'm talking about movies, films. I'm talking about the ones that have a great, that has a great writer behind it, a great director. I love how all these things come together, the writer, director, the acting. It's just fascinating to me, and can form something really, really beautiful. But it's so important to not stop doing that. Do the things. Oh, take time. Do me another favor. Okay, or do yourself a favor. Why me? Who the hell cares about me? But like, do yourself a favor and take care of your inner child. So if you go back to what your inner child loved, if you used to play basketball as a kid, for God's sake, go back to playing basketball. Just because you're 40, 50 doesn't mean you have to stop shooting the hoop around, the ball around. Why would you shoot the hoop around? Shoot some hoop. That's what it is. Shoot the ball around. So yeah, go back to it. Go back to whatever was, go back to your childhood and just rediscover that. I cannot give you a bigger advice than that. Go back to your inner child and find out what that inner child truly loved. Take a journey back over and over and over again. Take the next few years just focusing on that, and then start bringing those things back. Start doing those things that brought you joy when you were a kid. And I think I'm going to leave you with that. All right. Thank you for listening. This has been a good recording session, and I hope you have a great day, a great evening. And yeah, love you. Take care. Bye.